This is Up North News. I'm Pat Freitlow. Pleasant, slightly warmer conditions today will give way to a chance of thunderstorms the farther north you are. Low 80s today, high 80s tomorrow, mid 80s and quiet on Thursday and Friday. Deb Baldus McGrath is one of four candidates running for Congress in Western Wisconsin's 3rd Congressional District, which also reaches up and grabs a part of Central Wisconsin for reasons we've discussed before and no doubt we'll get into again in terms of gerrymandering. But right now you fight in the district you've got, and Deb Baldus McGrath is one of four candidates fighting in that district to succeed the retiring Democratic Congressman Ron Kind. Deb, I'd like to ask you first here about the economy and inflation. Forgive the mini rant to open it up, but Congress is broken. Extremism from the far right embraces gridlock because it feeds into their narrative that government is the enemy, or at least the obstacle. The only time they embrace spending, it seems, is for natural disasters in their backyard or tax breaks for the wealthy that they foolishly believe will still trickle down to everyone else. And yet, Western Wisconsin and all Wisconsin families need a functional Congress for a multitude of reasons, starting with the economy. The recent bout of inflation, it's a global phenomenon that was inevitably going to rise and fall as the pandemic got better managed, but still, it's rough on household budgets. So let's start, Deb, with what can Congress do and what can you advocate for to help Wisconsin families and entrepreneurs?
Well, first, thank you for framing that. Sing it, Pat, because this, you know, framing this in terms of the fact that the radical right wing, and it's part of their agenda, that this is, you know, to create this gridlock and this hysteria, if they can feed into that fear, when this is a, you know, when there is a problem that's been exacerbated by COVID and our global instability. And so this isn't just our country. It is a global issue, which, I understand because I've seen how other countries' issues affect our own. But this is affecting families in our district. Families are struggling. Prices are high. It's never been harder to buy a home or a car or even to get, you know, to be able to, you know, to get to work and to make those choices for families. So we have got to hold corporations and the ultra rich accountable for the windfall profits. That is what the first thing that I believe we need to do. And of course we need to fix our supply chain. When you talk about that, they still show weakness, and you know, people are becoming innovative and we need to help them and sustain and provide incentives for that. And one example is the Chippewa Valley bean, right here in Dunn County. Has been innovative and getting alternative routes for their product to get to market, going north up the Mississippi and out the St. Lawrence, because Chicago was so backed up. But they did that on their own. We need to help, and especially we need to help our local businesses, small and medium farms, so that we can help invest in them to make them sustainable and innovative. And then those union jobs. I think we need to support those union jobs because that is going to grow our economy and with high standards of the work that they do. The other thing too is bringing manufacturing back home. And the latest the legislation chips that microchips can be manufactured here hopefully within our district, and you know, things like green energy jobs, wind and solar, that can really revitalize our economy.
You notice that every one of those things does benefit if Congress is proactive rather than simply standing in the way of, you know, spending to improve our ports and things like that. So you'll have to overcome that, to put it kindly, institutional inertia toward investing in our infrastructure. To do that takes money. The money comes in through the tax code. Let's talk a bit about that, because certainly folks are there's a growing familiarity with the 2017 Republican tax bill. A lot has been said about the sweetheart break that Ron Johnson put in there for billionaires that needs to be capped. But there are other things as well that Congress could do if it wasn't facing the deadlock of a 50-50 Senate, for example. What do you tell people about taxes and tax policy changes that you would like to see enacted?
Well, certainly you hit it on the head when you have this sweetheart, which is, it's just maddening to people, infuriating, that the ultra rich are not paying their fair share in taxes, and that corporations have windfall profits, and that return on investment is not being felt back, certainly even within our own district. And so that's where I would start with that. And of course, you know, when we talk about Congress, Congress needs to look at itself. You know, so that legislation about buying and selling and trading stocks within Congress, and it's, you know, it starts right there. And that I will be, you know, someone who really brings that self-reflection to Congress and to speak boldly about what needs to be done. But when we talk about, you know, taxes, making that child tax credit permanent, that's, to me, you know, one of the first things that we can do to help families, and that will support them. And then also incentivizing things like childcare, you know, childcare work, and for those who need it, for those lower income folks who need to have some tax breaks to be able to get childcare, because that will revitalize our economy. And of course, people will work and there will be more of a tax income then. And then folks, a living wage, you know, making sure that people have or gain a live, you know, can make a living wage. And then that brings more taxes in as well. So it's revitalizing our economy. And this is starting our engine.
Let's go from that living wage concept, which certainly will be, you know, hotly debated, no matter how fair it certainly seems to be when one first looks at it, and come to an area of this district that is not wage driven, but is market driven. And obviously, we're talking about farming and market prices for everything from, you know, from milk to commodities. And, you know, we before Ron Kind came to represent the district, you know, it was Steve Gunderson, a moderate Republican, and then your father before that. And everybody talked about how the 3rd Congressional District was like, you know, the center of the universe for dairy farming. And while that's still the case, dairy farming isn't what it used to be, in the sense that there aren't nearly as many family farms as there are, you know, larger farms, corporate farms, mega farms, and what have you. Agriculture is still important. But now, Deb, when we talk about that issue, it's no longer just the price of milk and whether a farm family can make it. We're talking about, you know, monopoly power in the markets, and, you know, regulations on, you know, environment and such. So when people talk to you about farming in the 3rd District, what are the top issues that a congressional representative needs to be mindful of?
Well, thank you for bringing up the past. And certainly I grew up talking about, you know, the championing of milk and whey subsidies, and how, you know, those parities really helped farmers get by, and that they were already diversifying. That farms were already beginning to diversify because they saw what was happening in the future. I was at Farm Tech Days just a couple of weeks ago, and it was interesting to speak to folks there as they were coming past and talking about how hard it is to run these small family farms, and that there are grants available that folks don't even know about because they're so busy farming, they can't even take the time to look at, you know, to gain these. So that is one thing that I will make sure is my constituent services will, and that full funding of the USDA to make sure that our farmers and small businesses have access to these grants that are out there and are not even accessed. Second of all, Pat, is that Wisconsin led the way for 100 years ago in conservation efforts, and that it was not in contradiction to our economic development. And that was through public, private, and academic partnership. And that we've got 5 great universities in this district with agronomists, and that they are working together with farmers so that they can voluntarily diversify and innovate their farms. And it certainly organic farms and other, you know, people are turning to sheep and different kinds of cheeses, artisanal cheeses, so that they can offer something and still keep those farms. But then also we need to make sure that we do hold accountable those big farms for not only the profits that they're making, but the economic and environmental impact of those farms, so that that the profits come back to those communities. People want to stay in those small towns, Pat.
And those farmers, again, are trying to, you know, use whatever resources they can access. And some of that involves the way that our laws were written. One of our first big stories at Up North News that Julian Emerson told our readers about more than 2 years ago was how the Trump administration had essentially changed the definition of organic farming, which many family farms were relying on to help make sure their products stand out. And instead, by changing the definition, pretty much any corporate farm could advertise that it was, you know, organic products. And so it's not just things like making sure the USDA has all the resources it needs, but, you know, really the minutiae of definitions in the law, you know, that kind of advocacy is still what's going to be needed in this district, Deb.
Right. And Pat, you know, you're bringing up a really important point. It's also about mandates that don't have any funding behind them, that, you know, people are in standards that don't have any regulation behind them. And of course, a lot of that is within our own state, that we're not addressing, that our legislature, Republican-led legislature, is not addressing. And we have a great governor that, you know, continues to take, you know, to take, and a great Secretary of Agriculture here, but that we need to look at this federally so that we can create standards and supports to farmers so that they can truly be organic. You know, the Bovingworth Homer, that was, you know, back in my father's day. Look at how far that's come. So we're just adequately, you know, saying what's on products. So,
we will have much more to say about the rural economy and certain issues as we talk to those legislative candidates. You know, speaking as a former legislator myself, that is something that I think goes unappreciated, is the role a state legislature plays in whether you support or don't support a rural economy. So more about that down the road. Let's change subject with the 2 minutes we have remaining here or so and talk about the impact of the U.S. Supreme Court's repeal of Roe versus Wade, and whether that is something that makes people unhappy for a while, but ultimately does not move souls to the polls, as the concept goes, or do you feel something more tectonic is at work here over the coming 98 days?
Well, Pat, I absolutely believe, and I know, that this is going to bring people out to the polls. And boy, I am talking to people all day, every day. And to every single person will say, the right to choose is going to be the bellwether of this election. And it will bring out people like we have not seen perhaps in decades, because this is personal. And certainly to me, you know, reproductive decisions are it's a fundamental right. I'm the only mother in this race. And I understand how a decision like this is to have a child is life changing, and that it's a lifelong commitment. And, you know, I've talked about the fact that, you know, I was in the military and had an unplanned pregnancy while I was in command in Korea. And my commander found out before I did and was, you know, stripped of command. And I was advised to resign. Now, that was, you know, 34 years ago. But the public humiliation of that were also economic consequences. And that is what we're going back to. So it's not just about reproductive choice. This is about, you know, making decisions for families, right. That is, and then the economic consequences when there is no child care, and so that and people can't go back to work.
Something that will motivate all kinds of voters this fall. Deb Baldus McGrath is our guest. We're talking about the 3rd Congressional District Democratic primary next week. More after the break. This is Up North News.